Chapter 50 of On the Duties of the Clergy, Book the First. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. On the Duties of the Clergy, by St. Ambrose, Book the First, Chapter 50. The Levites ought to be utterly free from all earthly desires. What their virtues should be on the Apostle's own showing, and how great their purity must be. Also, what their dignity and duty is, for the carrying out of which the chief virtues are necessary. He states that these were not unknown to the philosophers, but that they erred in their order. Some are by their nature in accordance with duty, which yet, on account of what accompanies them, become contrary to duty. From whence he gathers what gifts the office of the Levites demands. To conclude, he adds an exposition of Moses' words when blessing the tribe of Levi. If then, in the gospel of the Lord, the people themselves were taught and led to despise riches, how much more ought ye Levites no longer to be bound down by earthly desires? For your portion is God. For when their earthly possessions were portioned out by Moses to the people of our fathers, the Lord suffered not the Levites to have a share in that earthly possession, for he himself would be the strength of their inheritance. Wherefore David says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup," whence we get the name Levite, which means, "Himself is mine," or "Himself for me." Great, then, is this honour that God should say of him, "Himself is mine," or, as was said to Peter about the piece of money found in the fish's mouth, "Give to them for me and for thee." Wherefore the Apostle, when he said, "A bishop should be sober, modest, of good behaviour, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not covetous, nor a brawler, one that rules well his own house," also added, "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let them also first be proved, and so let them serve, being found blameless." We note how much is required of us. The minister of the Lord should abstain from wine, so that he may be upheld by the good witness not only of the faithful, but also by those who are without. For it is right that the witness to our acts and works should be the opinion of the public at large, that the office be not disgraced. Thus he who sees the minister of the altar adorned with suitable virtues may praise their author, and reverence the Lord who has such servants. The praise of the Lord sounds forth where there is a pure possession and an innocent rule at home. But what shall I say about chastity, when only one and no second union is allowed? As regards marriage, the law is not to marry again, nor to seek union with another wife. It seems strange to many why impediment should be caused by a second marriage entered on before baptism, so as to prevent election to the clerical office and to the reception of the gift of ordination, seeing that even crimes are not wont to stand in the way, if they have been put away in the sacrament of baptism. But we must learn that in baptism sin can be forgiven, but law cannot be abolished. In the case of marriage, there is no sin, but there is a law. Whatever sin there is can be put away, whatever law there is cannot be laid aside in marriage. How could he exhort to widowhood who himself had married more than once? But ye know that the ministerial office must be kept pure and unspotted, and must not be defiled by conjugal intercourse. Ye know this, I say, who have received the gifts of the sacred ministry, with pure bodies and unspoiled modesty, and without ever having enjoyed conjugal intercourse. I am mentioning this because in some out-of-the-way places, when they enter on the ministry, or even when they become priests, they have begotten children. They defend this on the ground of old custom, when, as it happened, the sacrifice was offered up at long intervals. However, even the people had to be purified 2 or 3 days beforehand so as to come clean to the sacrifice, as we read in the Old Testament. They even used to wash their clothes. If such regard was paid in what was only the figure, how much ought it to be shown in the reality? Learn then, priest and Levite, what it means to wash thy clothes. Thou must have a pure body wherewith to offer up the sacraments. If the people were forbidden to approach their victim unless they washed their clothes, dost thou, while foul in heart and body, dare to make supplication for others? Dost thou dare to make an offering for them? The duty of the Levites is no light one, for the Lord says of them, Behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of every firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. These shall be their redemption, and the Levites shall be mine, for I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. We know that the Levites are not reckoned among the rest, but are preferred before all, for they are chosen out of all, and are sanctified like the firstfruits and the firstlings which belong to the Lord, since the payment of vows and redemption for sin are offered by them. Thou shalt not receive them, he says, among the children of Israel, but thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister in it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down, and when the camp is pitched, they shall set up the tabernacle again. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall surely be put to death. Thou then art chosen out of the whole number of the children of Israel, regarded as the firstfruits of the sacred offerings. Set over the tabernacle so as to keep guard in the camp of holiness and faith, to which if a stranger approach, he shall surely die. Thou art placed there to watch over the ark of the covenant. All do not see the depths of the mysteries, for they are hid from the Levites, lest they should see who ought not to see, and they who cannot serve should take it up. Moses indeed saw the circumcision of the Spirit, but veiled it, so as to give circumcision only in an outward sign. He saw the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He saw the sufferings of the Lord, but he veiled the unleavened bread of truth in the material unleavened bread. He veiled the sufferings of the Lord in the sacrifice of a lamb or a calf. Good Levites have ever preserved the mystery entrusted to them under the protection of their own faith. And yet dost thou think little of what is entrusted to thee? First, thou shalt see the deep things of God, which needs wisdom. Next, thou must keep watch for the people. That requires justice. Thou must defend the camp and guard the tabernacle, which needs fortitude. Thou must show thyself continent and sober, and this needs temperance. These chief virtues they who are without have recognized, but they considered that the order resting on society was higher than that resting on wisdom. Though wisdom is the foundation, and justice the building which cannot stand unless it have a foundation. The foundation is Christ. First stands faith, which is a sign of wisdom, as Solomon says in following his father, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the law says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, thou shalt love thy neighbor. It is a noble thing to do one's kindness and duties towards the whole of the human race, but it is ever more seemly that thou shouldst give to God the most precious thing thou hast, that is thy mind, for thou hast nothing better than that. When thou hast paid thy debt to thy Creator, then thou mayst labor for men, to show them kindness and to give help. Then thou mayst assist the needy with money, or by some duty, or some service that lies in the way of thy ministry, by money to support him, by paying a debt so as to free him that is bound, by undertaking a duty so as to take charge of a trust which he fears to lose, who has put it by in trust. It is a duty, then, to take care of and to restore what has been entrusted to us. But meanwhile, a change comes, either in time or circumstances, so that it is no longer a duty to restore what one has received. As, for instance, when a man demands back his money as an open enemy, to use it against his country, and to offer his wealth to barbarians. Or if thou shouldst have to restore it, whilst another stood by to extort it from him by force. If thou restore money to a raving lunatic when he cannot keep it. If thou give up to a madman a sword once put by with thee, whereby he may kill himself. Is it not an act contrary to duty to pay the debt? Is it not contrary to duty to take knowingly what has been got by a thief, so that he who has lost it is cheated out of it? It is also sometimes contrary to duty to fulfill a promise, or to keep an oath, as was the case with Herod, who swore that whatever was asked he would give to the daughter of Herodias, and so allowed the death of John, that he might not break his word. And what shall I say of Jephthah, who offered up his daughter in sacrifice, she having been the first to meet him as he returned home victorious, whereby he fulfilled the vow which he had made, that he would offer to God whatever should meet him first? It would have been better to make no promise at all, than to fulfill it in the death of his daughter. Ye are not ignorant how important it is to look to this. And so a Levite is chosen to guard the sanctuary, one who shall never fail in counsel, nor forsake the faith, nor fear death, nor do anything extravagant, so that in his whole appearance he may give proof of his earnestness. For he ought to have not only his soul, but even his eyes in restraint, so that no chance mishap may bring a blush to his forehead. For whoever looketh on a woman to desire her, hath already committed adultery with her in his heart. Thus adultery is committed not only by actual committal of the foul deed, but even by the desire of the ardent gaze. This seems high and somewhat severe, but in a high office it is not out of place. For the grace of the Levites is such that Moses spoke of them as follows in his blessing: Give to Levi his men, give Levi his trusted ones, give Levi the lot of his inheritance and his truth to the holy men whom they tempted in temptation and reviled at the waters of contradiction, who said to his father and mother, I know thee not, and knew not his brethren, and renounced his children. He guarded thy word and kept thy testimony. They then are his men, his trusty ones, who have no deceit in their hearts, hide no treachery within them, but guard his words and ponder them in their heart, as Mary pondered them, who know not their parents so as to put them before their duty, who hate the violators of chastity and avenge the injury done to purity, and know the times for the fulfilling of their duty, as also which duty is the greater, which the lesser, and to what occasion each is suited. In all this they follow that alone which is virtuous. And who, where there are two virtuous duties, think that which is the more virtuous must come first? These are, in truth, rightly blessed. If anyone makes known the just works of the Lord, and offers him incense, then bless, O Lord, his strength, accept the work of his hands, that he may find the grace of the prophetic blessing with him who liveth and reigneth for ever and ever. Amen. End of chapter 50. End of book the first.